For the hour, you're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 32 degrees with wet snow falling this morning. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. In Alaska, we know it's not always easy to just bring in help. If you want to fix something, you often have to do it yourself. This is especially true on an island where the nearest town is hours away by ferry. This past year in Sitka, residents learned just how much they could accomplish as a community. Dinah Saverin is a Kingsley Trust Fellow from Yale University who spent last summer examining Sitka's distinctiveness. She produced the following story for the AK feature on Alaska News Nightly about the largely volunteer-driven revitalization of the Sheldon Jackson campus.
As do-it-yourself projects go, renovating the former Sheldon Jackson College is a massive one. The campus includes 20 buildings on 20 acres near downtown Sitka. And for 4 years after the college shut down, all of the buildings were falling into disrepair. Roger Schmidt runs the Sitka Fine Arts Camp.
The campus hits a nerve. I think that it's right downtown, and I think that most of us that live here, we think Sitka's gorgeous. But there's nothing gorgeous about full sheets of plywood covering every single window. We're not a community that's failing. And yet it just kept saying, you're failing, you're failing, you're failing.
The Sheldon Jackson trustees couldn't find a buyer for the building, so they eventually handed them over to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp. It was something Schmidt had been fighting for.
It felt victorious one minute and the next minute, you know, just pretty much the sort of feeling of when you step off the edge of something and you know you're completely committed and there isn't any way to stop the momentum. I mean, it was just like jumping into a really, really fast river. And so that was, you know, it was daunting. Everything about it's been daunting.
Hiring contractors to fix the buildings would have cost millions of dollars. Millions of dollars the Sitka Fine Arts Camp did not have. But they did have something else, something better than money.
Custom fitter. I'll make them 6 inches, crying out loud. 6 1/4.
How much time are you investing?
Probably. For the last 5 months, it's been about 80 hours a week.
The Fine Arts Camp tapped a well of volunteer energy, deeper and richer than anyone really thought possible. That's Ted Loftenberg, a man who told me on the 5th of July that he was exuberant that the 4th was over and he could get back to work. He hates holidays. Ted and others worked so hard because they understood the need.
Shingles were falling off and moss is growing and the plants are wild, untrimmed. The grass wasn't being cut. These are all aspects of, why aren't we taking care of our community?
The job of revitalizing the campus suddenly supplied the previously deserted space with people. Schmidt said it was a great change to see.
It was like little elves were working all the time, night and day, because problems would just start disappearing. You know, you'd see something maybe in a bathroom, maybe you'd see something cracked or broken, and then you go in another day and it was magically gone.
Over 500 people logged over 20,000 volunteer hours to date. Wendy Alderson was the volunteer coordinator and took charge of the civilian army transforming the buildings.
And people were doing this in February. None of these old buildings had heat. And it was cold. It was so cold. And there were a group of people who would spend hours till they couldn't move their fingers anymore going through books. And I mean, it was kind of a obsessive thing, I think, for certain people. There wasn't any place to stop.
All that hard work paid off last June with the arrival of the first of over 500 students. They saturated the campus with an abundance of energy. The pounding of teenage drummers at all hours of the day gave the buildings a new heartbeat. Many in Sitka are camp alumni and credit it to this day for transforming their adolescent selves. Tracy Turner attended the Sitka Fine Arts Camp the first year it started. Her three children all attended, too. The first week of camp last year, she wandered through the refurbished buildings and marveled at the progress they had made.
I don't know if anything like this has ever happened anywhere. It's not just in Sitka or even in Alaska. I really don't think, I can't imagine. I mean, we're a community of 8,000 people. If you think about 14,000 volunteer hours in a, what, 4 month period? Where does that happen? Nowhere. This is unbelievable.
And the result? For a month in June, hundreds of middle and high schoolers get what they describe as a pretty magical summer. And for the rest of the year, well, Schmidt's imagination is still running wild, and the campus remains full of projects. Or as he puts it, he's just jumping into some really fast rivers and letting the current take him downstream. For AK, this is Diana Sabrin.
Energy issues and funding for rural schools topped U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski's agenda in Ketchikan. During a visit to her hometown on Friday, Murkowski said economic growth in southeast Alaska depends on expansion of the region's hydroelectric capacity. She also discussed her efforts to extend the Secure Rural Schools program. School districts located near national forest land, including Sitka, have depended on that program for hundreds of thousands of dollars in funding. It's set to expire this year. KRBD's Deanna Garrison was with the senator on Friday and has more.
In a roundtable with business and government leaders on Friday, Murkowski repeatedly heard about the need for affordable energy, concerns about rising health insurance costs, and the need for fewer federal regulations. Ketchikan Gateway Borough Manager Dan Bockhorst expressed concern over the loss of Secure Rural Schools funding this year.
Wow. 99.7% of the land in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough is exempt from taxes. And the vast, vast majority of that, of course, is federally owned land. Historically, Ketchikan Gateway Borough has received somewhat of a token compensation for all that expansive federal land. Unfortunately, that in the form of Secure Rural Schools, at this point in time, has all but ended as of September. We have lost, as a result of that, $1.1 million in Secure Rural Schools funding that used to be given directly to our schools.
Murkowski says school districts around the region are hurting since the Secure Rural Schools program expired. She says two-thirds of Yakutat's school budget is comprised of Secure Rural School funds. Murkowski says the president included the provision in his budget that would extend the program, but most funding for Alaska schools would go away after a year. She says there are multiple proposals to extend the program, but many would divert money to other West Coast states. Murkowski says she plans to offer an amendment next week that would continue the program.
It would be a 3 to 4 year extension. The monies coming to Alaska and to all of the states would be a 5% decrease from 2010 levels. So you'd be looking here in Ketchikan, I think, at 1.27, so not a bad place to start. It ratchets down 5% over the next 3 to 4 years, depending on whether it's a 3-year extension or a 4-year extension. Not surprisingly, the big challenge for us right now is where the pay for comes, but we actually have 19 co-sponsors on this amendment, so it enjoys broader support than any of the others.
Murkowski also heard from Jason Custer, who briefed her on efforts by the City of Saxman, the Cape Fox Corporation, and AP&T to secure funding to construct the Mahoney Lake Hydroelectric Project on Revillagigedo Island. Southeast Alaska Power Authority board member Bob Sievertson discussed SEPA's plans to increase its hydroelectric capacity by increasing storage at Swan Lake. Murkowski assured the roundtable that she understands the importance of hydroelectricity in southeast Alaska.
We are very cognizant of how we can help to build out our renewable hydro opportunities. Of course, our big challenge is always how we deal with the pay for. And I recognize that Ketchikan will be limited in its development, whether it is mining, whether it's hospital, whether it's shipyard, if we don't have the access to the energy. And I think we recognize that has been an impediment.
She says new funding sources could potentially open up if the federal government reclassified hydroelectricity as a renewable energy resource. Murkowski has introduced legislation changing the renewable energy definition.
Part of the issue that we deal with is most, when they think of hydropower, they think of a Hoover Dam type of a project. They think of a Watana, What they don't think of is Mahoney Lake or any of the lake tap hydro that we have. So we've got to kind of work to change people's understanding.
Murkowski says it will be difficult to get federal funding for new or existing hydro projects due to the current congressional prohibition on earmarks. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
Alaska Federation of Natives President Julie Kitka warns that the continuing federal budget battle could affect essential services, but she says it's hard to tell where the axe will fall.
We could see programs that we have spent decades building up and working and just will disappear in the budget acts as they deal with those federal deficits.
She told those attending Juneau's Native Issues Forum last week to be ready for a last-minute call to action if major programs face significant cuts. At the same time, Kitka expressed optimism about Native Americans' chances in the coming year. She pointed to an upcoming conference in Washington, D.C., co-sponsored by the Center for American Progress. The think tank is closely tied to the Obama administration.
It's one of those opportunities you make of it what you can. It may turn out to be economic development issues that can pop out of this and get done. It could be renewable energy. It could be, you know, regulatory changes, a whole array of things.
Kitka said the conference is a major focus for AFN during the last year of the Obama administration's first term. So in weather forecast today for Sitka, NPA calls for rain and snow, little or no snow accumulation, highs around 40. Southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 35 miles per hour, becoming south 10 to 15 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, numerous snow showers in the morning, then numerous rain showers in the afternoon, snow accumulation up to 1 inch, highs around 42. This is KCAW in Sitka.